We turn in God's Word this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, we read this in connection with our consideration of the fifth commandment. And it's especially verses 18 through 21 that we take notice of in connection with the fifth commandment, but we'll read the entire chapter. This is instruction that Moses is giving to the people of Israel before they enter into the promised land of Canaan. And they're right at the border of the land and will soon cross the Jordan River. And Moses gives them instruction for how they are to live in that land in the service of God. So Deuteronomy 21. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city shall take an heifer, which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke, and the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, and thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails, and she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. And it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will, but thou shalt not sell her at all for money, thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. And now it's these verses that we especially look at this morning. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto him, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Thus far, we read God's word. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and many others that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 39. You can find that on page 22 in the back of your Psalter. This is the Catechism's explanation of the fifth commandment. Remember, the fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Catechism asks, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray thy blessing upon the preaching of the word this morning. In a special way, we pray that it'll be a blessing to the children and young people of the church, that they may be reminded of their calling as citizens of the kingdom of heaven to obey their parents. We pray also, Father, that thou will bless this word to each one of us. We all have authority over us, and for every one of us, it's our natural inclination to rebel against such authority. We pray, Father, that thou wilt speak to us, show us our sin, and show us as well the calling we have as citizens of thy kingdom to live under thy authority in all of life. And when we live under thy authority, then we live under, in obedience and reverence, the authorities that thou hast placed over us. Grant us that strength, especially in these days in which we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we consider the fifth commandment this morning, we understand that the fifth commandment begins the second table of the law. The law is divided into two parts, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself who has given us this division. And that division is that we are to love God and then love the neighbor as ourselves. The first four commandments are the first table of the law, which teach us how we are to love God directly in relationship to him. And the second table of the law then teaches us, beginning with the fifth commandment, how we are to love God by loving the neighbor. And just as the first commandment is the foundation for the entirety of the law and the foundation for the first part of the law, so the fifth commandment is the foundation for loving the neighbor, or the second table of the law. So, first commandment is foundational. We saw that when we looked at the first commandment. The entire law is really about this, loving God. But the second table is based on, built on this fifth commandment. And it's built on this parental relationship with children. This is most important because it shapes all other relationships. It really does. So that when we see a child or a young person who is kind and courteous and respectful, more than likely that child is kind, courteous, and respectful because he or she has been taught that in the home. Now, that's not always the case. There can be parents who don't teach it and still children who are, or vice versa, parents who do teach it and children who aren't. But normally that's the case. And that tells us then that this commandment is put here purposefully because it is foundational. We want to see and understand, though, the importance of looking at the fifth commandment this morning. And the importance of looking at this is driven home by what we read this morning in Deuteronomy 21. The keeping of this commandment was so serious in Israel that God gave through Moses this instruction, that if there's a son who is rebellious and he doesn't listen to the warning of his parents and continues to be rebellious and continues to be disobedient, the parents should bring him to the elders of Israel. And if he doesn't repent, that child is to be stoned. That's striking when we read it. And it shows the importance of this fifth commandment and how important it is before God. Rebellion in Israel was scandalous. So scandalous that it demanded stoning. The fear is in our day that rebellion isn't scandalous anymore. It's almost what's expected. And it shouldn't be that way. That doesn't mean that we practice stoning in our day. No, the church is called, though, to exercise discipline. If there is a son or a daughter that continues to be rebellious and does not listen to their parents. But the point is that gets our attention. Kids, young people, that gets our attention, doesn't it? And so this morning, I want to speak especially to you. I want to speak to your children and to you young people and to parents. But then we want to see more broadly the application of this fifth commandment to all of us. Very important today. Very important because the kids and young people are home a lot more than you are used to being at home. And so you don't have so much time with your teachers. Now the time is with mom. The time is with dad. And are you in that time when you're home? Are you obeying? Are you honoring your mom and your dad? It's important in our day as well because there are many people upset with government leaders. There are people upset with church leaders. We have to remember what this commandment says to every one of us in the days in which we live right now. So with that in mind, we consider the fifth commandment of the theme, honor those in authority. Honor those in authority. That's the command that is before us here. Notice, first of all, the meaning, secondly, the reason, and then finally, the application. So as we get to the fifth commandment, the question is, what does it mean to honor? Children are called to honor their parents. They're called to honor father and mother. What does it mean to honor? Well, there are three words we look at this morning that explain the concept of honor. Honor is reverence. Honor is obedience. Honor is gratitude. These three things together make up the concept of honor. First of all, children honor their parents by reverencing their parents. Reverence is an attitude of heart. When we talk about honoring mom and dad, this is not, first of all, obedience. It's, first of all, a matter of the heart. And that's what the word honor especially brings out. This word honor in the Old Testament is a word that means glory or weight. Weight. This doesn't mean that you have to respect and honor your parents because they're bigger than you are. And if you don't honor and respect them, then they could hurt you because they are bigger. No, that's not at all the idea. In fact, it might come to the point where a son's looking down at his mother, or they're bigger than mom and dad. But this doesn't mean that you may disrespect them. No, the idea here is that God has given to parents a weighty calling and a weighty office and a weighty responsibility. And parents, that's good for us to remember. When you brought your children home from the hospital and brought them home in that car seat and maybe sat them down, sat that car seat on the kitchen table or brought that car seat into the living room and put it on the floor and you're amazed at the fact that you have that child home, you felt the weight of the responsibility that God had now given to you. And God gives to us a weighty office and calling when He gives to us children. But children, it's good for you to remember that God has given to your parents a position of authority over you. And that's the idea here of honoring. You're acknowledging that position that God has placed these parents over you. They're over you. They're in a position of authority over you because God has given them that. What that means is that your parents have the right to tell you what to do with the expectation that you will obey them. So it doesn't mean that they're just about barking orders out at you and you just have to do it right away. Now, obedience, we'll get to that in a moment. But that does mean that when your parents set rules and ask you to do things, that you obey because they have been put in that position of authority over you. Children, you are to respect and honor and reverence your parents. See them as gifts from God and respect them. That means even when you think they don't deserve it. And it's true. There are times that they, from our perspective, don't deserve it. We remember what the Heidelberg Catechism says, that we also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So it pleases God to govern us by their hand. They have this position of authority, but in that position, they're weak and they have infirmities. That doesn't mean when they're weak and have infirmities, you don't have to honor them. No, you are called to honor them even in their weaknesses and infirmities. I as a parent and your parents understand that we don't always deserve respect and honor. Yet, God calls you to honor and reverence your parents. So honor means, first of all, that reverence. Secondly, it's obedience. And obedience means this: we do what our parents say while we're part of their household. This is one of the chief ways in which we honor and reverence our parents. We obey our parents. We do what they tell us to do. That's simply what obedience is. We do what they tell us to do without arguing, without complaining. Doing this willingly and cheerfully, without complaining when they call us to do something, and doing what they tell us to do without delay, not putting it off, not trying to have control of the situation ourselves. So we hear what they're saying, we maybe just ignore them, we say that we'll do it a little bit later because we, in the end, want to be our own authority. No, children, young people, you're called to not only honor them, but show that honor by obeying them. I'll stop here and speak a word to the parents a moment as well. This implies, parents, that we're giving instruction to our children. We don't just hope that our children figure it out on their own. We don't leave them to their own devices. We don't just provide the things of this earth that they need, a few basic rules, and hope they kind of figure it out because they have good friends and there's good people around them and we're part of the church and we send them to catechism and we go to worship on the Lord's Day as well. No, part of the weighty calling we have as parents is to teach and instruct our children the truth of God's Word. And then out of that truth, out of the gospel that we teach them, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, we say, now, this is how you live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And you are to obey God, and you obey God by obeying us. And so that's what we teach them. We teach them not just to obey us, but obey us because you in your life want to obey the authority of life. Obey God. So this is a word for parents too. Teach and instruct your children to obey. And children, you are called to obey without arguing or complaining. The third part of honoring parents is gratitude. Another way we show honor to our parents is with gratitude. Children, your parents do many good things for you. And your parents like it when they can do things that bring you happiness and joy in your lives as well. They're moms who love to cook meals that are your favorites, that taste good. They're dads who like to spend time with you and do things with you. They take you places where you need to go. They send you to Christian schools as well and bring you to church. Your parents sacrifice a lot, sleep and energy and desires and money and time so that you have the things that you need. And parents, we are to sacrifice ourselves for the good of our children. But children, remember today that one of the ways in which you honor your parents is by showing gratitude to them. And honoring is the way of gratitude. It's gratitude to God for His salvation, but also it's showing gratitude to your parents for the things that they do. So it's not just saying thank you to them, but also it is obeying them and doing what they ask you to do. So children, thank God for your parents and thank your parents for the things that they do. Gratitude is a way of honoring parents. So remember those three words. Honoring parents is reverencing them or fearing them or living in a respectful way of them, obeying them secondly, and thirdly, gratitude. How do we live this honor out in our lives? I said before, it's three things, three ways that this is communicated by children to their parents in the everyday things of life. Three things that are said. First of all, when your parents tell you to do something, you can respond by saying, yes, Mom, or yes, Dad. So think about that. Maybe there are more chores for you to do around the house right now because you're at home and you need some things to do. And so Mom says, clean out that closet. Mom says, sweep the floor. Mom says, pick up your toys. Mom says, go outside for a while. Mom says, it's your turn to do the dishes. Mom says, it's your turn to clean up the table after supper tonight. And what do you say? Well, when we honor our parents, we don't say, oh, we don't sigh. We don't question. We don't say, do I have to? I think it's so-and-so's turn. And we say, yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. That's part of obeying and honoring Mom and Dad in those small moments of life. Maybe if we're in the middle of something, we can say to Mom, yes, but may I do it in a few minutes? I'd like to finish this up first. And more than likely, Mom's going to say, oh, that's all right. Or if it needs to be done immediately, she's going to say, no, you've got to come right now. And then you say, yes, Mom, I'll do that. And so that's a reflection of the attitude of our own hearts, reverence and honor that is shown in the small moments of life, even in what we say. So first of all that, yes, Mom, yes, Dad. Secondly, reverence and gratitude is shown by saying thank you. So if part of honoring parents is gratitude, then this is something that we often ought to say. And as parents, this is something we should be teaching our children as well, to say thank you. It's one of the things to be taught right there at the kitchen table when you're having breakfast or we're having supper and someone passes something to them or they have a great meal and they say thank you. That's what we should practice in our homes as well. Or even when we get together again and we can worship together. I know there are some grandpas and grandmas who hand out some candy to the kids. And then you kids should right away, first thing out of your mouth, thank you. Thank you for that. And grandpas and grandmas can do their part by having the children say thank you and teaching them that even in those moments. I'm not promoting that, but I know that it happens here at church. But understand, it can be difficult sometimes to say thank you. Even little children, they can be rebellious just on that. Why won't you say thank you? Understand, it can be difficult to say thank you because when we're saying thank you, what we're saying is, you gave me something that I couldn't have of myself. And sometimes we don't like to admit that in our pride. Even a young child, not even to formulate that or know that, still has that pride and doesn't want to say thank you. Doesn't want to acknowledge that dependence on someone else. That's part of honoring parents. Gratitude. And therefore, thanks ought to quickly come from our lips. Not complaining, but thankfulness. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for what you do. So first of all, yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. Secondly, thank you. Third, the third thing in which we show this honor is, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Children, when you disobey Mom and Dad, when you are sinful, this should be what comes from your lips as well. Not stubbornness and rebellious attitude of not wanting to confess, but confessing sin and saying, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. Again, not just saying it to get it done with. The quick response, oh, I'm sorry because I know that's what I'm supposed to say. No, I'm sorry that I've hurt you. I'm sorry I didn't obey you And I know that I must. Children, you should be ready to say you're sorry when you disobey and disrespect mom and dad. But again, a word for parents. We should be setting the example in this. I know I've had to say sorry to my children many times. And when we treat our children badly, when we lose it on them, when we are not obedient to God towards them, then we have to apologize to them too and set the example for our children. We are not perfect as parents. But that's the way, as children, we show that we honor and respect our parents. We say, I'm sorry. But now, we also want to consider this morning why this honor of parents is so important. Why must children honor their parents? Why must they reverence their parents? Why must they obey their parents? Why must they show gratitude towards their parents? Well, it's an important question this morning. Before I get to the answer to it, I want to emphasize the importance of the question because of the day in which we live. We need to consider that the honoring of parents and really the honoring of all authority, because this is so countercultural in our day. What that means is it's so against the flow of the way that things go in the world today. We do not find in the world today much honor and respect for those in positions of authority. In fact, almost everything in our culture is against respect of parents and authority. The default response of a sinful world is disrespect and dishonor of all authority. And in essence, what man wants is one's own personal authority. I'm the authority of my life. And I will decide what is best for me. And I will not listen to anyone else. That's the world in which we live. The danger is that it finds its way into the church. It finds its way into our homes. It finds its way into our lives. So that this becomes our default setting. And this becomes our thinking. Notice a couple of ways in which that's the case. For example, our culture does not normally respect those who are older and wiser. I'm thankful that I don't see much of that in the church, but again, the danger is it creeps in. In our culture today, when you're older, you simply have to get out of the way. Because youth is where it is at. We live in a culture that increasingly does not honor those who are older and wiser. Instead, the world mocks those who are older and wiser because they're often just not up on the latest. They can't keep up with those who are young. The young, they are driven. They know the technology and everything else. And it's come to such an extreme in our day that more and more there's a pushing for euthanasia for those who are older and not contributors to society. You might as well get rid of them. Again, it ought to be so much different within the church. The book of Proverbs speaks of the white head, the hoary head, and that those who have wisdom and those who are older, they are to be respected. And I don't see that so that you listen to me because I'm getting whiter as I get older. It's not about me. In fact, I'm still at an age that the elders, for the most part, are older than I am. And there are many in the church who are older than I am as well. And to understand that we are to respect and honor those who have age and wisdom within the church. And that means children and young people looking at your parents that way too. That they're older, they're wiser. They progress further in godliness than you have. And those who are older in the church, they progress further in godliness than I have. And that's why they are to be respected and honored. Children, see that and know that about your parents. They're not perfect. But they're progressing in godliness and in holiness. So listen to them. Honor them. Respect them. Very different from the world in which we live. Another way in which we see this danger in the world today is that the thinking that can easily come to the church is that it's a rite of passage for teenagers to go through a rebellious stage of life. And so that becomes the expectation. And that comes into the church as well. It becomes the expectation that when a young person is getting to 15, 16, 18 years old, that part of their establishing some independence is that they're rebellious against their parents and they're going to do their own things. We do not find that in the Word of God. Oh, there are the sins of youth and there's the folly of it. But you do not sense from the law itself, and you don't sense from Deuteronomy 21, well, you know, this son, the daughter, they're 16, they're 18 years old, and yeah, they're rebellious, but you know, after a while, it's probably something that they'll grow out of, so we don't have to worry. No. The son, if he's rebellious and wouldn't listen to his parents, was brought before the elders of the church, and those elders stoned him. They were called to stone him to death if he would not repent. May we not expect rebellion, disrespect, disobedience, or ingratitude. Instead, may it be our expectation that our teenagers will respect, they will obey, they will live in gratitude, they will honor their parents and those in authority over them. The fifth commandment tells us this is what God expects of children who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. They will walk in God's ways. So all of this and so many other things that are going on around us emphasize to us the importance of the fifth commandment in our day. And the question is why? Why should children honor their parents? A couple of things we notice. First of all, children ought to honor their parents because this is the way that they honor their Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6 calls children to obey their parents in the Lord. And the idea is this is how they honor Jesus Christ Himself. Obedience and devotion to Jesus lead to honoring and obeying parents. Children, do you love Jesus Christ? Are you devoted to Jesus Christ? Well, your devotion to Jesus, your love for Jesus is shown in this way. It's shown in the way of obeying mom and dad, of honoring mom and dad, of doing what God demands because that's pleasing to Him. We're reminded today that we are under authority. You children and young people are under authority. And we all are. It's the authority of God the Creator. It's the authority of God our Savior. Remember the context of the law. I am the Lord your God. I've delivered you. I've delivered you from bondage. I've delivered you through the work of Jesus Christ. God's saying to us as we've focused on that, I've made you citizens of my kingdom. You are part of my kingdom. Now this is how you live as citizens of the kingdom. Children and young people, you live as citizens of the kingdom by honoring and obeying your parents because you honor and obey the King of the kingdom. Another way to look at this is a way of imitating our Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be imitators of Him. We're conformed to His image. Just think about Jesus for a few moments, kids and young people. Think about Him as a child. Think about Him as a child, whatever age you are right now. If you're 5, if you're 10, if you're 13, if you're 16, Jesus lived on this earth at that same age. Now, maybe there were times in your life when you thought you knew better than your parents. And you thought that they didn't understand. Well, there's someone who knew that, but knew that perfectly, and that's Jesus. Because Jesus was the Son of God in this world, and He perfectly obeyed. He was perfect in righteousness and holiness, and He had sinful parents. And yet, the scriptures tell us in Luke 2 verse 51 that he always obeyed them. And he always honored them, and he did that perfectly. Sinful parents for Jesus Christ. So we ought to remember that in those times when we think that our parents don't understand and they don't know. And we want to use that as an excuse for disobeying. If anybody had an excuse, it was Jesus. But he didn't. And so we see that honoring and obeying our parents is the way in which we honor and obey Jesus Christ himself and reflect him in our own lives. That's the first reason that we must honor our parents. The second is that which we find in the command itself. Ephesians 6 verses 1 and 2 notes that this is the first commandment with promise. This commandment is a commandment with promise that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now what does this promise mean? Well, this was not a promise for long life if we obey our parents, and if we don't, then we will die. I remember that there was someone who said he thought that very thing when he was young, that he was going, if he disobeyed his mom and dad, that he would die. And one time he did, and his brother said to him, well, you must not want to live long. Well, if that were the case, none of us would live very long. None of us could expect a long life as well. So the idea of the promise is not if we obey our mom and dad, then we're going to have a long life here on this earth. You see, this promise is connected to the promised land of Canaan. God is saying to the people of Israel, live under my authority. And children, you do that by obeying your parents. And God will bless. That's what he says through the book of Deuteronomy. You walk in my ways, you'll stay in the land. You forsake my ways, I'm going to send enemies. And they're going to destroy you. And that came to pass, didn't it? With Assyria and with Babylon as well. And so the warning is, don't turn away from the authority of God. There's great danger when we turn away from God's authority. For us today, this promise is so important because it has to do with God and his dwelling with us in the line of generations. And again, the idea isn't, well, we disobey, he's not going to dwell with us any longer. Yet, there are consequences to disobedience. There are consequences to disrespect and dishonor that's carried on in generations and may be the occasion then for them in the coming generations to depart from God and his authority. So we see and understand that danger, but now this is a command with promise. And the idea here is there's encouragement for us to obey this command. So the idea isn't obey because you're going to get something. No, it's not about a selfish getting something for ourselves. But with this severe warning and also the promise that is set before us, we see and understand God saying to us, obey this. Do what I call you to do. If there is dishonor and disobedience, that's going to be passed on to the generation to come. So it's a warning to us as parents. On the one hand, we could be teaching our children, but our example might be exactly contrary to what we're trying to teach them. And there's a price to be paid for that. But on the other hand, we see the importance then of teaching our children in the fear of God to obey his commandments and to honor those in authority. And so this encourages us in the keeping of this command. God blesses obedience. Children, you need to know that. We all need to know that as well. Not because we deserve something or we've earned something. This is the way that God works. We're saved by his grace. We're citizens of his kingdom. And he blesses in the line of generations. And he blesses with everlasting life those who walk in his ways. So see and understand the promise that is connected. And this is encouragement to us to honor and obey. Finally, this morning, we want to see the broader application of this fifth commandment. This commandment is broader than to parents or to children and their relationship to their parents. We are to honor and obey and express gratitude to all in authority over us. Lord's Day 39 points that out, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me. So think of what honor is. Reverence, obedience, gratitude. Now the Word of God takes that and says, now all of that is applied to us in the authorities that God has placed over us. And so built on this fifth commandment is so much instruction, especially in the New Testament. Slaves are to obey masters. Employees are to obey their employers and submit to them. Wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. We are to submit to our church leaders. We are called to submit to the governing authorities over us, the government itself. And so we're reminded of the importance of that in our day. Reverence, obey, show gratitude as well. I think something especially has to be said in our day about the attitude towards government. There are many who are not happy with our governor right now and the restrictions that she has placed on so many and what that has done to business and so on. But along with that, we see in the social media of our day and in the media of our day, it's constant that we're bombarded with these ideas that we may disrespect those who are in positions of leadership. And so people go online and they go on Twitter, they go on Instagram, they go on Facebook or whatever else it is that they're using, and they rant and they rave about something that a government leader has done, or maybe even a church leader has done as well. And they believe that it's right to express objections in that way. Freedom of speech has become, in our day, the exception to the fifth commandment. Oh, we have freedom of speech, so we can say what we want. Well, that may be true in the world, but in the church, in the as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, no, God says there are limits to what we say. We'll get to that in the commandments, but we speak the truth in love. Not just speak the truth. We speak the truth in love. Beloved, the question for us is all that's going on in the world today, the dishonoring of government leaders, the dishonoring of those who are in positions of authority, those who simply thumb their nose at the laws of the land, is that having an impact upon us? Well, again, it doesn't mean that we may disagree with the government leader or even with decision that a church makes. But there's a right way, an honoring way to do that. So it doesn't mean, I don't think, that someone couldn't in this past week go to Lansing and be part of a protest maybe there. There's a possibly a right way to express. Or it doesn't mean that someone shouldn't write letters to the governor or to a senator or to the president or whoever it might be. No, there's a right way to do that. Expressing gratitude, appreciation for the work they do, for the difficult position that they are in. But we'd like you to consider this as well in the decisions that you make. There's a right way to express that while still honoring and even obeying those who are in positions of authority. Again, the question is, how do we do this? Our calling is to submit to those in authority over us. But as part of that application, then, we have to see the importance as parents and as church that we live this out in our lives. If we're not living this out in our lives, we might be teaching, but we teach them one thing and then we're doing the opposite. Can we really expect that our children are going to follow in what we're saying and not in what we're doing? So we're encouraged here that there would be consistency as parents and consistency as grandparents and consistency as adults. We want our children, our grandchildren to respect and honor us because this is honoring to God. But now we must lead the way. We must be the example. Moms, be the example at home in respect toward your husband. Respect as well your government leaders. Respect your governor. Respect our president. Respect as well the elders of the church and the things that they do. May we in this time respect and honor those God has placed over us. And children and young people, as you return to your schooling at home tomorrow, and as you're with mom during the day and she's asking you to do some things at home and dad's asking you to do some things, remember what you heard today. Obey, honor, respect for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this word, this reminder from the fifth commandment about how we are to live as citizens of thy kingdom. And so strengthen our children and young people in this time that they would respect and honor their parents, that they would reverence them, that they would obey them, that they would show gratitude to them. And we pray also, O God, that thou wilt give us strength as parents to teach and instruct our children in this way and to be good examples to them. And grant us strength in these days also to honor and respect all those in authority over us. Forgive us, Father, where we have not. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.